This is Kelvin Beecham of the Arizona Cardinals. And I am panicked about my wife heading into med school.
Howard, how are you?
No complaints about sound, huh? We got a new studio. It's 2022. What did we do in 2021? We didn't get divorced. I filed paperwork twice. And you wouldn't leave. I offered you 62% of the podcast. Still couldn't get rid of you. And I offered it in krona, whatever your currency is.
You know, I'm like a bad rash.
Speaking of bad rashes, we got an incredible guest in the... What a segue. He's not allowed to reveal himself yet, but we have one in the studio. So one great thing is we lost panic. Well, we gained the ability to do live podcasts because, you know, as COVID still rages, we're out and about in Phoenix, Arizona, and dealing with things in the Arizona way, which is pretty open, which I'm all for. And we are now doing in-studio stuff. So if we had more famous people, it would be fantastic. Sorry, if we had more famous people that liked investing, because that's all I like to talk about. And so we enter 2022 with a new studio, new music, and our first live guest. Everybody welcome Kelvin Beecham Jr. Kelvin, welcome.
What's going on, brother? Thanks for having me.
Pretty cool studio.
It's nice.
First person in the office. I think he was taken back. He thought maybe there would be, he'd be whisked away in velvet and luxury because of social leverage. He walked in, he goes, man, I don't know. Looks kind of like a flaky operation. But now you've seen the magic of Knut.
Yes.
Knut can do stuff. So you're used to doing live, mostly audio, like.
All types of stuff. Radio shows, podcasts, the whole nine.
So Kelvin has been on the podcast before. We'll link back to it. But Kelvin, give people a little bit of background on yourself again.
For sure. So currently in my 10th season with the Arizona Cardinals, 4 with the Pittsburgh Steelers, 1 with the Jacksonville Jaguars, 3 with the Jets, and then currently on my second year with the Cardinals. So been investing for a couple years as well. So learning from people like yourself, the investing prowess isn't as huge here in Phoenix, Arizona, but I've been blessed to be in a couple of different locations and learn from some of the best.
What is your Texas guy?
Yep.
We don't like to focus too much on what's happening today because this is an evergreen show. But I grew up in Toronto, and we had two choices of Sunday football. NBC, CBS. CBS played the Cowboys. NBC played the Steelers because I was born in 65. So in the 70s and 80s, it was Cowboys Steelers, right? Mm-hmm. And you would drive to Buffalo, go to a Bills game. So I've remained through Staubach era and all the great Cowboys, Romo, mm-hmm. and I'm having a senior
Troy
moment.
Aikman. I can't believe you went to Romo before Troy Aikman.
And what's his name? Danny White, who just was in my misery years. So you got to go home,
yep.
Theoretically, this weekend to play in Dallas. And it was a huge win. Yep. I'm a Cards fan. So it was a huge win coming off 2 losses. Is that a great stadium to play in?
It's a phenomenal stadium to play in. One of the best in the National Football League. Extremely loud.
Is it loud? It always feels like it's more of a church than it is a loud place.
Loud place to play. Anytime you play in a dome of any type, it's always loud. But I think that Jerry has done a phenomenal job of finding a way to cater that sound and make sure that sound is on the players.
Huh. And locker room. Is that the best locker room? Where's the best locker room?
Yes, they're the best. You have the most room. The thing is you always want to have room in a locker room, and then you always want to have a hot tub. And they actually have multiple hot tubs.
Kind of like Twitter headquarters. So multiple hot tubs.
Yeah.
And all right, so we're back in Phoenix now. I've met your family. We mm-hmm. went golf. I met your wife. You're panicked about med school. You're panicked because you're going to have more time with the kids, or you're panicked about how much time it's going to take her? Because I know you guys, I know you're not panicked in a negative way. What's so exciting about that?
Cost.
money. Well, we will contribute a little bit of ETH. We'll set up a GoFundMe page. So the cost probably 50 grand a year. How many years?
I don't even want to talk about it. Yeah. I ain't even got there. I got to play football a little longer to pay for it, but I'm excited for it. But I mean, it's just a lot. We got a lot going on as a family. You know,
yeah,
we got
three kids,
three under seven. Yeah. You know, they're in school right now. Don't know where life is going to take me regarding, you know, playing football and how much longer I'm going to play. So, I mean, it's a lot of uncertainty.
All right. So math comes into this. What is the playing expectant lifespan of a lineman generally?
Lifespan of offensive lineman?
Not lifespan. Kind of live. Because we can play. I can guess that. Just NFL.
So the lifespan of a player in general?
Yeah.
Two and a half years.
That's it?
Yeah.
So 10. So you're beating the odds.
I'm beating the odds. Yeah.
All right. So you've beaten the odds. It took you 8 years of playing football to get the bug. Were people not coming? You know, you hear all these stories, and we talked about them first. You hear all these stories of athletes making bad decisions. Now all I hear about stories is because, you know, I talk about this all the time, speculation is entertainment, and everybody's telling stories, and the pyramid is flipped, right? Like everybody can be in a Discord. You could set up an Arizona Cardinal crypto Discord room and drop NFTs and be an early, you know, person in there. Is there discussion now about investing in the locker room?
Without question. And it can go in a number of different directions. You know, I think one of my teammates, Corey Peters, he actually told me, this has to be Friday, that he just bought two NFTs.
Not the apes?
No, he didn't get the apes. But one of his brothers got him an NFT for Christmas. Got his water loss set up, and it was cool to hear him, you know, be excited about it. You know, you have the kind of traditional investing, you know, stock markets, what you like, what you don't like. That's usually for the punters and the, I mean, they have a lot of time.
Canute would
hands.
Be a punter if there is anything. I'd just be a coach. I'd probably be a water guy or a coach.
There's a lot of conversations about it. You got real estate, you know, even though, you know, we're here in Phoenix, there's a lot going on in the real estate market here in Phoenix. So that's a conversation that happens as well in the locker room. So you get a little bit of everything.
And is it crypto? If there was a choice between the two, because real estate, you're right. It's actually a great investment for most people, whether they're just getting started or not.
Yeah.
It bores the hell out of me. But is crypto and startups part of that? I know you're into startups, but is
it? It is. Because the thing is guys see what's going on, you know, whether it's in the media, whether it's on Twitter, whether it's on Instagram. There's a lot that's happening within athletes and athletes and entertainers investing in what's new, what's innovative, what's next. Yeah. And what's next is, you know, whether you want to talk about crypto, whether you want to talk about Web3, metaverse, what have you, that's what's next.
And so you got the playing, you got your training. How do you keep up the best? Is it Twitter or is it just email?
It's everything, honestly. It's newsletters, it's Discord, it's Twitter, it's word of mouth, it's conversations like this. You know, it's during the off season, it's being able to get out to New York, or it's being able to get out to San Francisco, and being able to hear, you know, kind of what's going on with boots on the ground. And when I travel, if I happen to go international, it's finding what the hot spots are international and spending time with some of the folks in those regions as well. So it's a little bit of everything. It's kind of hard to point to one thing because it's information overload, and it's information overload coming from everywhere.
Yeah, and I talk about this too. It's information overload, but it's more about filter failure.
Like, no question.
You can't stop the information, so it's about setting up the proper filters. And you got lucky or smart at the beginning. You met some good people in New York. As bad as the team was, there's just a lot of smart people there.
Without question.
Yeah, so refresh me. When did the light bulb go off for you that this was something that you liked?
Yeah, the light bulb went off for me in 2016. And the Super Bowl is out in San Francisco. The Broncos are playing the Panthers. This is Peyton Manning's last game.
Yeah.
And the NFL and the NFLPA team up and take us out on a couple of tours out in
out
in San Francisco.
Yep.
And was lucky enough to be in the room with Jeff Jordan, Ben Horitz, and Joe Montana.
Right.
Chris Lyons was a chief of staff at the time, and got to hear, you know, kind of the story about athletes and entertainers starting to dabble in this world. And Joe Montana did a phenomenal job of just talking about his journey from playing in San Francisco, winning Super Bowls and being able to leverage the winning and leverage, you know, the valley while he was there, and got the bug then. The following year went out and started spending time in San Francisco, then did an internship at a firm out there in San Francisco, and then got implanted into New York in 2017, and got to meet some great people, Mark Garrison, Nat Turner, Mike Katz. I was just telling Nat not too long ago, man, he was the guy that just set it all off in New York.
I mean, Nat's maybe your age and started $1 billion companies, yeah. Now running sports, which is probably a fascination of yours. Doesn't interest me, the cards and everything that he's doing.
You're missing out, man.
I know. We'll talk about that next. But first, let's just talk a little bit about the career, because I wanted to talk to you about the Walter Payton Award. Yep. So let's just talk about that. This is an incredible, it's just a trophy, and it's just an award in the end of the same, but Walter was one of the greats. Mm-hmm. So tell me about this award and how it works.
Yeah, so you have Walter Payton, who was, you know, everybody knows him for what he did on the field. He was one of the best Hall of Fame running back, sweetness. But at the same time, he was an amazing human being off the field. Served his community, with humility, was a servant leader, and done it at a very high level. And when he passed away, the NFL commemorated his life of service and started the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. His family is super heavily involved still. And it's an award that goes to men in the NFL who have a mind and a will to want to serve their fellow man and serve their communities and serve, you know, whether this is the cities they play in or cities that they come from. I was nominated for the award in 2018 and up for the award here with the Arizona Cardinals.
So congratulations. How many people are up for the award? 1,000? 2,000?
So it's one nominee from every team.
Oh, it's how many teams are there? 26?
32.
There's 32 teams?
32 teams.
They snuck a few into Canada? What is it like to be on a team with a quarterback that's got, like, all these weapons? You played with Roethlisberger, mm-hmm. who's, I think, 75 years old in play.
Come on,
he's
now.
He's 75, I mean, 76?
He had an amazing game last night, man.
He did.
I actually sat and watched that game last night. I was so happy for him, so happy for the
I mean,
Pittsburgh
he loves
Steelers.
The game, so... Oh, yeah. So you've played with him.
Mm-hmm.
What's so different about this year or this quarterback?
You know, the thing is Kyler, and it was funny to hear other people describe him. So right before the game this past weekend, I was talking to one of the defensive linemen, and they was like, man, you know, we got to find a way to contain Jackrabbit. I'm like, why you call him Jackrabbit? He'd be like, that's what we call him, Jackrabbit. But man, he's a guy that just, you never know where he's going to be at, but you know that there's going to be something special that happens.
Yeah.
He plays with such passion, plays with, you know, just his competitive edge, plays with a chip in the shoulder. I wouldn't say that it's a short man syndrome. I just think that he plays a lot bigger than life, and he plays a lot bigger than he is.
Yeah, because I think quarterback, you know, is about confidence too. Like whether you're a fan mm-hmm. watching your favorite quarterback or obviously you as a player, it's got to be about, like, you know, Brady walked on the field, and even though I'm not a Brady, like, I mean, he looks fucking better than he ever did, but, like, in that last Jets series, I don't know, randomly because of the red zone. I love red zone, but, like, it was inevitable,
yeah.
Like,
and
it just exudes that confidence. He also seems to exude that confidence, but it's got to be way different for protecting a pocket passer like Roethlisberger, who I'm sure would run mm-hmm. if chased, or Kyrie, who... You don't know what he's going to do. So what's the big difference there?
Yeah, it's the thing is at the end of the day with both quarterbacks, if you do your job, there's going to be a play to be made.
Got it.
As simple as that. If you do your job and you protect and you make sure that your guy doesn't make the play, it's going to be something special that happens. And I think what Kyler does extremely well is he's going to be able to find something down the field. He's going to be able to scramble and even though he can get outside of the pocket, he's getting much more comfortable being inside the pocket.
He's slinging it
from inside the pocket, you know, which, you know, I think makes us extremely dangerous because he has the ability to beat you with his legs on the run, and he has the ability to beat you inside the pocket.
It seems like this year there's so many teams that could win it.
Yeah.
It just, you know, and again, I'm not a football expert. I definitely was more so in college and in high school. But now there's infinite choices. It seems like I can only go to red zone And so it just feels like watching Red Zone. There's a lot of good teams from even like San Diego, or I call them San Diego, but
I still call them San Diego too.
So let's talk about investing now. So social leverage is what I came up with in 07 to talk about what's happening to you, or you were talking about Montana. He was leveraging his network and his name, and at the same time, technology was disseminating or getting distributed, you know, across and out of San Francisco. So now now you can have that same Super Bowl conversation anywhere. It's not just Andreessen Horowitz in the Valley. There's like crypto firms, everywhere. New York, and there's people in London, and it's like completely moving out. So now the leverage is all over the place. I call it social leverage. You mentioned that he was leveraging his network. How do you prefer to see deals, or like, because you don't want to just take cold calls, but at the same time, so how are you deciding?
Yeah, I think for me, it's all relationship based, first and foremost. I think being able to have people in the industry who just be honest with you. And I think that's where it starts. And I think as I've spent more time in this industry, people know what I like and people know what I don't like. Even though I play sports, I'm not a guy that you want to be sending every sports deal to. Although I am in entertainment and media, I'm not a guy that you send entertainment and media deals to. Me and you hit it off about fintech and financial services. Those are deals that I happen to get just due to relationships. I love enterprise technology. So people who are investing in enterprise technology, that's who I gravitate to. And those are the types of deals that I end up seeing. And then it's so funny during the season, especially during training camp, for some reason, because I guess the season's kicking off, is when deal flow really picks up. So July, August, September is when deal flow is mayhem during those 3 months for some reason every year. But people know what I want to see, and they know that, you know, if it's a great deal, I take the time to meet the founder. I spend some time looking at the industry and looking at the category and looking at, you know, what the team has, what they've assembled, and see if it's something that's for me.
So you were early in Whoop. We talked about it, but what's this year was like the year for the Whoop and PGA. And PGA really kicked it off. And I think we talked about it last year, but like the guy's a great CEO, he's a great ambassador, media guy, but what a tough, you know, I just got The Remarkable, The Reader, because my friend John Valesky, who I trust, is a geek. You know, I've had iPads for 10 years. I still don't really use it other than to watch TV. And then Judd, who started Gannip and is a geek, and he was at Honey, and I just trust him because he's a geek. He's writing about his Remarkable, which he uses just a lightweight, I can't wait to show Canute. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it just basically does two things. You can jot on it and download the internet and go to PDFs, and just an easy way to read shit. And I'm way behind. I'm 20 years behind in reading. So Whoop, for as much as the Apple Watch does and for as much as, it's the same kind of thing, right? No one could predict Whoop.
Yeah.
And so what was it about Whoop? Because we can talk about mistakes, and we will. But, you know, and holding calls and all the other penalties that you get. But the Whoop, what was it, him or the product? Or?
I think for one, it was him. I heard him pitch in Houston. This is 2017, during the Super Bowl down in Houston. And I was blown away just that how he talked about data, how he talked about how there was a need for athletes to actually be able to own their data. And this is huge as you think about some of the looming things that were happening in the National Football League. Data becoming a huge thing, fans wanting to consume data, fantasy sports, betting, all those things becoming, you know, some of the tailwinds that you know, nobody, I mean, people thought about them, you know, a couple years ago, but that is what everybody talks about right now, fantasy sports, betting, you know, why are you going to pick this guy over this guy based off of, you know, what analysts are saying? But all those things go back to data, and there was nothing that allowed the athlete to actually own that data. And that's what I, you know, that was the kind of the bet that I had, you know, on Whoop. But it was really being able to back Will and being able to back a founder that I felt was going to be able to do something in this category. And even though it was connected to sports, it is not sports related. This is something that has had, I felt at the time, had mass adoption type implications. And, you know, now, you know, it's been able to hit the masses in a special way.
So that's a winner. Is there another one that you're really proud of that it gives you great satisfaction? Because for me, it's like, it's not enough that you make money. Yeah. I know that sounds stupid, but you hopefully have the same instincts around this as I do. But sometimes I'm more worn out from the process of a winner than the enjoyment I get from the process of something that just turns out mediocre, but I'm having a good time with.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're in it to make money. What's another one that you're proud of that you're involved with and it's fun to do and you're seeing success?
You know, would I be allowed to say two?
Yeah.
And I will say these two because of how important those relationships have been to me. One is Flexport, Ryan Peterson with Flexport.
Yep.
And the other is Dylan Phil and Figma. And those two have been just founders that I've really, you know, learned from, learned how to invest from, learned how to treat people from, learned how to navigate the valley from. But those two gentlemen have been guys that I really just have just a deep appreciation for.
So Ryan, I've heard Shill, my friend Shill's an investor. Flexport does logistics. What is Flexport?
Yeah, freight forwarding software. So you think about DHL, FedEx, UPS, etc. But on the freight side, so you think about oceanic freight, things coming from, you know, China,
Greece,
you know, the whole nine, anything going over the ocean. And they've been able to expand and really start to take market share, which I love.
And when did you meet Ryan?
So I met Ryan at CES when CES was still, I don't know if it's in person or not.
It is. Yeah. I'm old and not ever going again. But yeah.
So this had to be CES 2016, I think.
Uh-huh.
And met him at a dinner and got his card. And on his card, it said Sky Dragon. And I was like, man, Sky Dragon, you know, this is cool. This is, I'm just now getting into the industry, just now starting to learn. And stayed in touch with him over the next couple of years. Had a rough year in Jacksonville that year, lost a lot of games. but while I was there, I started to really build a rapport with him and really had a great time. And then I think 2018, I was out in the Valley and he brought me in for a fireside chat and actually got to meet the team and got to spend some time with, you know, them at their HQ there in San Francisco again. And it's just been a real authentic relationship over the years.
They're multi-billion now.
Correct.
As well. And then Figma, multi-billion in the design. What does Figma do again?
Design. So, you know, I would say that they're eating Adobe's lunch, in my opinion. You know, when you think about collaboration, you think about design, and you think about where we're at right now, especially with, you know, coming out of this remote work environment, but starting to gravitate towards this remote work environment, there has to be collaboration. And collaboration within design is something that, again, as a tailwind, is that's really starting to pick up, and you're starting to see that, you know, anything that's everything has to do with design. You have to be able to design it. It has to look good. It has to look sleek, and there has to be collaboration. And I think that's one of the calling cards for Figma.
Yeah, Figma, and again, I think $10 billion company.
It's up there.
And Canva as well. Yeah. Adobe ain't hurting. I think it's just reminder when you say Adobe killer, and we've all said Microsoft killer. I know you didn't mean it that way.
I would say Adobe killer, but I think it's
a modern version.
Yes. I think, you know, when you think about today's workforce and you think about how fast things are moving and how collaborative things have to be in this environment, and when you think about being able to serve startups and being able to serve startups as they grow and their small teams, and sometimes, you know, it may be a team of 10 that may not be able to afford Adobe right now, especially as they're thinking about being able to collaborate on things in all different parts of the world. Because I think that, you know, we talked about that. You talked about social leverage. It's leverage from all different points of the planet right now. You have to be able to collaborate in real time with people all over the world. And I think that that's what some of these new and innovative startups have been able to do right now.
So the kids' ages are
7, 4, and 2.
So you're lucky, as much as I would dread having 3 young kids. Canute, you can tune in on that too, right?
Yeah, I'm glad by now
we're
in college.
It was great. I'd be panicked about, if I was to do a podcast with someone, how were you panicked about is saying, what happened to you didn't happen, and now it's just starting again. I go, fuck this. I'm out. So you got 3 of them. They're a handful.
Yeah.
Any kids that age are a handful. Your big advantage, and you know this, is looking over their shoulder. You are looking over 3 digital fucking native shoulders. the shit that they are doing.
Yes.
With their fingers and flicking and whatever. Yep. You know what I mean? Yep. These 4 fingers. their eyeballs.
Yeah.
How do you manage three digital natives?
I don't give it to them.
Okay.
We don't allow it.
What age do you think?
When they have to have it, then we'll consider it. And the thing is, this is 2022 now. So yeah. In 2020, when my daughter was going to kindergarten at the time, everything was virtual. So we got her Apple Mac Pro,
yeah.
And she learned how to use it, Google Meets, Zoom. I mean, she was proficient in it, and she still is. When we do family calls, we'll do it on Google Meets or Zoom, just to be able to keep. She does ABC Mouse. Okay. That's something that we do use. But it's just not something that I push a lot. I want to push like real world skills, being able to talk to somebody, being able to look in somebody's eyes and being able to have a conversation. But I think as they grow older, I think it'll be a point in time where there is a need for it when we actually start getting them to understand how to code and understanding how to, be online and be able to, be digitally native. I think that time will come. But I think understanding what I see and what I'm looking at and what I'm investing in, that's not something that I want to
make. So you're hurting your returns, You're cramping your returns. I can't wait to buy them each an iPad and say, call Uncle Howard with your tips. I get it. I think you're right. Listen, we did not do a good job there. I'm not going to talk for my wife. I'll say Howard did not do a good job because I traveled. I was like, selfish. Mm-hmm. And so you stick a screen. I mean, it was a new thing.
Yeah.
So you stuck a screen in front of him and shut him up. We did all the sports stuff with Max, but thank God golf.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, man, I see him as a quasi-digital native, and life is completely freaking me out and different. And it must be for him, too. But golf, just the fact that he has to go out and talk to people for 4 hours as a single at the club, I know it sounds spoiled and different, but thank God I got him that one thing, or he'd be, I feel bad.
Well,
because that world, crossover world was scary.
Yes. And I've started my kids golfing already. I actually had my two oldest out getting lessons yesterday because I feel that that's something that you have to be intentional about. And I think that's what I'm learning as a parent is I just have to be intentional. Whatever we choose to do, however we choose to parent, we just need to be intentional. If it's, wanting them to be digitally native, all right, well, how do we be intentional about allowing them to be digitally native and also doing it the right way and not, just putting the iPad in front of them and saying, hey, do what you want, look up what you want, scroll where you want, but be very intentional about it. There's this this company called Kiwi that we get these boxes every single week. And it's like, teaching our kids how to work with different designs and like being able to create things like this.
K-I-W-I.
Uh-huh. Actually, Linnea Roberts from Gingerbread Capital is who put us on to this company. And each child gets a box almost every other week.
That's a good idea.
And every Saturday, instead of them, and they watch TV, but it's, on Saturdays when I'm going and I'm traveling, this is what
my
wife...
They got their project.
Yes, they got their project.
Kind of like Hot Wheels back in the day.
Exactly.
Yeah, really smart. I mean, this is fun. We should make them a regular. I hope you retire.
Oh, no. I got to pay for med school. Remember, that's why I'm panicking.
Well, listen, I got a couple of Discord rooms we could start with some NFTs. We could pay for med school in about an hour.
I'm in enough Discords. Many Discords now.
Dude, listen.
Hey, did you see the link?
I do not use it.
You don't? How do you not use Discord?
Well, first of all, I'm old.
So it doesn't matter.
So let's talk about me for a minute. First of all, I listened to an aging podcast yesterday. It's a miracle I'm alive. I've broken every rule of trying to stay alive longer.
But I must say, you actually look really good.
Thank you.
Compared to how you looked last time when we went golfing, you look like you were hurt to look good.
You don't bring up golf, dude. I saw you play. That's called leaving me an opening. That's a hole that I will explode through. I may not know how to hit a hole in football, but I can hit a fucking hole in a podcast. So intention, great word, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's about intention. I don't even know if I had good intentions when I took my son golfing, right? We were just running around surviving. You know what I mean? I think there's so much time given to this next generation because of everything's at your fingertips that I think intention has to be better. You're not a digital native if you know how to use Snapchat, right? You're a digital native if you know how to use Figma mm-hmm. and Airtable.
Yeah.
And... not just Excel, you got to know Airtable, and not just Discord, but Slack and Twitter and Telegram and mm-hmm. Signal. Digital native means, like you said, intentionally opening your kids up to not just one channel, but the bajillion channels out there. And also, like you said, we were joking about Adobe. There is just modern versions of things. When people say, and I've been guilty of this, not least with Apple, but with Microsoft, because I don't own it, Microsoft's dead. It was so, it's a long time to kill an institution.
Yes.
It's Princess Bride, they say, Billy Crystal, well, it's mostly dead, you know, and they bring the prince back to life. This world is there's a lot of room. There's a lot of holes for people to fill. And we see with podcasting, the fact that we can become friends and have you in the studio and get you on the podcast and kind of see if we think the same way. Even if it's not tens of thousands of people listening, there's this way for people to connect and network and kind of collaborate. Because mm-hmm. Podcasting is really just about a smaller form of collaboration. So in going forward, you've got a lot more, you look great, so there's a lot more football to it. Is that where you spend the most of your time thinking about is longevity of career? Because that's what you have to do?
At this point, you know, how do I eat right? What am I using to make sure that I stay on the field? What are alternative medicines and alternative treatments and alternative methods to get the most out of my body? Sleep. You know, one of the most important things that people don't talk about a lot is...
I just had Francesco Bertoloni Pavarotti on my show to talk about 8 Sleep, and I finally got a coupon. Have you heard that? Are you in 8 Sleep?
I'm not in it through 8 Sleep.
Shrug Capital, but...
I didn't know you're in
Shrug's in it? Yeah, yes, Niv, before I was recruiting you, by the way, now Republic, I'm recruiting him, even though he's got offers from everybody, Kelvin.
You're not getting Niv, I'm sorry.
I don't want you.
I said Niv.
Niv, he was mine. I sent him away. I was like, Niv, you...
Send Niv away?
Because I gave him money. So there's two things. And I'd like to talk about another.
Are you in Shrug 1, 2, and 3?
Yeah, I'm in all Shrug.
Oh, so we in the same boat.
Yeah. So I didn't know I was in 8 Sleep until I saw Niv mention it to me.
Yeah.
But, and we'll get to what, you know, investing in emerging managers. But I believe... in this dissemination and spreading, right? So Niv didn't think he could raise money. He's social, but like weird social. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean this as a negative. It's just that next generation of social, right? You got to know how to ask for money. Mm-hmm. You have to know how to close. These are all the things I learned. You know, it doesn't matter how good you are. If you can close and ask for money and put on, you know what I mean? Yeah. And talk to talk and storytell. Right. Niv's not a storyteller. He's an excitable young guy with a big brain mm-hmm. and good modern social skills, but face-to-face, I don't know, he's not a closer. Or at least, you know, I haven't seen him in a couple of years, but we weren't big enough.
Right.
And I was like such a fan, and I was like, dude, like you need to, you know, go work in the industry or go start your own fund. Mm-hmm. Like, why come work for me? And luckily AngelList at the time, which I'm an investor in way back, give me something there, can you? Self-pumping myself.
I have nothing for you, man.
I got a producer who does nothing.
Yeah, I think you've mentioned
everything.
Kelly,
you want to be my producer? So he went there and did a rolling fund. Mm-hmm. Now he's got his own fund. So I feel kind of like the mentor coach. Like, no, I don't want to hoard this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I look at, there's two ways to do this business. There's hoarding, right? And that's the old way, Goldman Sachs way. And in a way, a little bit Andreessen, even though I'm a big fan of what they do. It's a little bit of hoarding. It's like, give me it.
Yeah.
And their old playbook, they're like, give me it. And then once they got it, they tell everybody else that they're stupid. They're very savvy at media. Andreessen's just a modern Goldman, right? Less evil, more interesting, still has haters. You know what I mean?
I think everybody has haters.
For sure. Yes. But at a higher level, like Jack's picking on them. Like, you know, you're at a level where Jack's picking on them. You know what I mean? Jack's not going to pick on me or you. He's going to pick on Andreessen. Everybody's fighting up. Everybody's punching up because that's how social works. So with Niv, you know, I found out I'm in that deal. How to sleep? Sleep is the number one thing.
The way
the founder explained it to me is like sleep is fitness.
Yes.
Genius. And Whoop is kind of the same thing. So sleep. Give me it. What do you got?
I was just not a fan of 8 Sleep.
No, I wouldn't have invested if he pitched me directly. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Yeah.
And Niv told me about the deal a number of times. I saw it at the C.
Oh, got it.
Saw it at the A. Saw it at the B.
And it got passed on at YC a few times.
Yeah, I mean, they've done well. You know, and the thing is you know, what I've learned is you can't do every deal.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, nobody has a limitless supply of capital, especially as an angel investor.
Correct.
And I think you have to be able to have some boundaries for yourself. Like, that's just not an area that
no is your best weapon.
Yes. And I felt that was a good no. And for me, the way I see it sometimes is if I have fund exposure, I'm good enough. I have fund exposure. I'm good.
Yeah.
And I have fund exposure a number of different ways to eat, sleep. So I'm happy with the outcome, however.
No, but sleep. So how do you deal with sleep? So sleep.
Sleep is essential, much like the air we breathe, much like water.
Yeah.
You can't play this game, you know, getting 5 and 6 hours of sleep a night. Like,
yeah.
You have to be able to get 8, be in the bed for 10 sometimes, just to be able to make sure that sleep is high quality. And what I've learned with Whoop, it just can't be just in bed. It has to be very, very efficient sleep. HIV has to be high, respiratory rate has to be low, disturbances have to be low. So, you know, it's become a science in some ways to make sure that I excel in this particular area of life, especially as I get older. And I hate saying older, but, you know, my
you look great.
And I know I'm a dinosaur in my profession.
You are a dinosaur. I was pushing you around earlier. Lucky there's foam walls here. It might have been a lawsuit. So here's what I want to know, though. You are living, and this is the NFL, and it's your job. You have to eat a lot. You have to eat strangely at different times of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So I get the sleep. You look great. You look young, mm-hmm. but you're heavy. And,
yeah.
and I was watching Arnold Schwarzenegger. You're not heavy fat. I'm
right.
saying you are a big man,
mm-hmm.
but you're heavy in the areas where a lineman needs to be heavy.
Right.
And that is probably against longevity.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you factor both those? And how's your wife as a doctor factor that in? And how do you reconcile all that?
Yeah, the thing is I'm not supposed to be this big.
Right.
You know, I went into college at 245. I left college at 320.
Wow.
Right now I am between 303 and 308.
Yeah,
you know,
because you don't look big, but you're a big man.
Yeah, but that's kind of my range, and I like actually being lower, kind of like the high 290s. Like,
yeah, 290. That's my best weight, 292.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look 290, you would look fantastic. And I say this as a guy who you're not overweight, but this is your playing weight.
It's playing weight.
Yeah.
Yes, but the thing is you know, my wife is really on me about just the health. You know.
Yeah.
Cholesterol. So she takes bacon out of my diet, even though I love bacon, you know.
Who's taking your bacon? Can you make a note of this? Who's taking that bacon?
I'll find out.
Yes.
My bacon. Wife. Panicking. You know?
She's panicking. So she's keeping an eye on you.
Yeah, she's keeping an eye on me. Because, I mean, again, I'm not supposed to be this big.
So you know, NFL ends tomorrow. What would be your weight?
260, you know, 270 at the most. The frame is the frame. But
you would hold 270 well.
I mean, I would look tiny at 270.
Well, you wouldn't look tiny, because we rode in a golf cart together, and it just kept going left the whole day. It took me the battery almost went out because we were doing a lot more driving. So 260. Who got you into golf?
Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh, right, Larry retired. I mean, what? I got to meet him.
Yeah,
is he hanging around the city?
Man, he's all over the place.
He's golfing.
He's golfing. The best place to find him is on a golf course.
Right.
So
yeah.
I mean,
he was golfing with Barkley in front of me, and I didn't go say hi to him. But he got you into it?
He got me more serious. I had just kind of just flirted around. I had got some clubs, some single-length clubs at the time. And he was like, Beachman, if you're going to do this, you need to do it right. And
right.
This is 2020 when I became a Cardinal. Started doing business together, started seeing deals together. We were on the same cap tables, but just never really got to know each other. And once we got to know each other, it just, you know, it's like my long-lost brother, honestly. Older brother at that. But he was like, Beachman, if you're going to be serious about, you know, doing business long term, man, you got to get on the golf course. You got to get serious about it. And it's hard to do it during the season.
For
during
sure.
the off season, you know, spend a lot more time on the course, spend a lot more time taking lessons, a lot more time practicing, you know, much like I practice and enjoy.
There's no way around. This is why golf is a mystery to me still, is it's a young person's game, and they have YouTube, and I'll give it to them, YouTube and Instagram for golf. I mean, this is why golf's going to become popular, much mm-hmm. like cycling. It's not that difficult. I mean, it is a difficult game.
Yeah.
But to watch and repeat in a three-dimensional way is fascinating.
Without question.
Without fucking question.
And what's crazy is golf is going into Web3 right now.
Yeah.
I don't know if you
saw. Well, the Lynx DAO. That's all my buddies. I'm in Red Pill, the venture. I'm in a bunch of crypto funds now. And we'll talk about that. But that's my buddies did that. That's Mike Lazaro. I didn't do it because I don't think that's the best iteration of it. It feels like just a great way to raise money. No offense to anybody.
I just find it to be fascinating. Yeah. I'm in a Discord. I just find it to be fascinating. It's super fascinating.
Well, I'll introduce you to the guys. But and we'll get how is my game? Let's get an honest take.
You legit. I mean, I was impressed. I was like, there's no way this guy can go out here and hit this ball.
That's
like
what people say about me.
Yes. And I was impressed. The ball was always playable. You always had a shot at going at, you know, going for birdie. I was impressed. I was always impressed.
It is a tough place for a beginner because, you know, I find Silverleaf a really tough place. So you're hitting over stuff all day.
Yes, all the time.
Meaning it's not water, it's desert, but it's rocks. It might as well be water. Yeah. And you saw, it got in your head too. The desert is just like ocean.
It did.
It's just an ocean with fucking prickly things. And once the ocean's in your head, there's a fucking lot of ocean out there in the desert. And I find it not as enjoyable. Again, I love the place. I love golf. But hitting over things all day at my age is, it fucks with your head.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing green makes the game a lot easier. And it got in your head. It was a tough place. It's not a place for beginners, but it's great that you're getting the kids involved. As we go into 2022, what are you excited about?
For one, being able to play in the playoffs, first and foremost. I haven't been in the playoffs since 2015.
Wow.
So, super excited about this opportunity.
And it'll be a home game.
It depends. Is this
a big game
this
then?
This is a huge game.
Okay. So who we got on the calendar?
We got the Seattle Seahawks.
Okay.
Coming into town. So it's a huge game. So that's what I'm most.
But they have nothing to play for. I mean, it's great
always,
QB.
You always have something to play for. It's pride, man. It's grown man's game.
I throw a game. I'm here right now on this podcast saying, fuck pride. If there was a draft pick, I'd throw the game. And by the way, I would parlay it on DraftKings. So I'd triple down on FanDuel. I'd max. So hang on. So they're coming in. Got to win this game.
Yeah.
Then it would be a home game.
I think so. It depends on if the Rams win or lose. So it's still a lot of variables throughout the National Football League that determine whether we get a home game or not.
And what are the odds of me getting on a field pass for a home game from you?
From me?
Yeah, from you.
So players don't get field passes.
So I'd have to go above
you? You
got
to go to Bidwell, Mr. Bidwell.
I gotta go to the top. I'll go right to the top. So Bidwell could get me on the field.
He can get you on the field.
Mm-hmm. And if it gets me on the field, and then who would be, is there a designated tackler if somebody gets on the field? Does the refs go to each side and say, listen, this guy gets on the field, this guy goes after him, or the cops handle that?
Oh, the cops handle that. You go to jail. I don't know if you want to go to jail. Have you ever been in jail before?
I have not yet. I have no intention to. You know, I watch a lot of prison shows on TV, and it always scares me because I'm public how things could go wrong, and I'd last about a minute. I'm watching that Mayor of Kingstown. Have you watched the show?
I haven't watched
it yet. It's the best show I've seen since Hill Street Blues. Phenomenal on Paramount. Same guy who did 1883 in Yellowstone. Segway. But the thing about this playoffs for you is you're going to savor it, right?
Yes, without question.
Okay. So you're going to savor it. Hopefully it'll be at home. What else are you excited about?
You know, traveling this offseason. You know, didn't get to travel too much, you know, during the pandemic. So really just excited to be able to get back on the international circuit and just be able to travel a little bit.
And what do you see post-football? Are you thinking about it at all?
I try not to think about it too much, but there are some opportunities that will arise within the investing ecosystem.
Would you do broadcasting or no?
I don't know if they could pay me enough to do broadcasting. Honestly.
Right, and then the travel. I don't know how these guys do it. They coast to coast. And like, I mean, the money I'm sure is good, but like, I see you as kind of an ambassador, mentor, investor, media, your own media, you know, stuff like that we're doing here. Would you start your own firm?
I don't know. I still think I need to gain some institutional chops before I get there, but we'll see.
If you can live in any city post-football, what do you think it'll be? It'll be based on med school or based on your choice?
Based on med school, first and foremost. That's the most important thing over the next 3 to 4 years. But after that, you know, I would love to be, it really depends. It's between, you know, the New York metro area or DFW.
Dallas-Fort Worth. Got
yeah.
it. And New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. In New York, it'll be tough. It'll be fun.
It'll be fun.
Especially because you're young. It's
yes,
fun.
Still young.
Yeah. I highly recommend my daughter's there, loving it at Rally Road. And then with sports, anything other than anything else in the sports space that you've invested in?
So lately, I did this company called Warp Dev. If you think about software engineers and the terminals that they've used, Bloomberg Terminal has never been changed. You know, the terminal for a software engineer to go in and start a a new code or start a new line of code has never changed. So Warp Dev is actually working on changing that. So really excited about it. When I learn how to code, I'm going to be learning how to code in Warp Dev. So
there we have it. I mean, so endless learning. And anything that you're panicked about other than med school, like anything like that that keeps you, what is it that keeps you up?
Outside of football, it's that's pretty much it. You know, I'm a simple guy. You know, I control what I can control. Certain things that I can panic about and stress about, and outside of that, I let God do the rest.
All right, my man. Next time we're going to talk about more about longevity and fitness, because that's what we really should do, because you're living it. But I'm just fascinated by investing and just chit-chatting. It's a nice vibe in here.
It's nice. I love the vibe. I love the sound. Sound quality is absolutely amazing.
Well, this is guy. He's Captain Sound. He's just done a phenomenal job by himself over the weekend getting us our new home. I guess we can't really have Canute because of the way you've done it for sound. It's not really about having art and other things and making it very personal. So I guess we don't have that. But if you want to come in here and just bang out good stuff, this is the place. And it's really about the people, not about the surroundings. Well, thanks, man, for coming by.
Anytime.
Yeah, I think we'll have to make it a regular. We'll just add him into the show when he's in town.
Great idea.
Well, I hope we don't have to talk to you until, at least until March. That means you have won something. All right, my man, Kelvin Beecham, thanks for coming by, and we'll have you on soon.
Yes, sir. Anytime.
Canute, that was fantastic. Thanks for setting up the office. Thanks for setting up the studio. It's great having you here. You are listening to Panic with Friends. I'm Howard Lindzen. You can search my name. You can complain about me, and maybe they'll kick me off Twitter or even stock twits. You hit Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts. We got the show everywhere. Doing it once a week. You can subscribe and say hello. We're talking to investors, traders, entrepreneurs, just trying to get a step or two, not years ahead, as we learned today, just a step or two, use your network, get in front of a few fat trends, and invest for profit and joy. Thanks, Canute. Thanks, Stock Twits. We'll see everybody next week.
Howard Lindzen is the founder and general partner at Social Leverage. All opinions expressed by Howard and podcast guests are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinion of Social Leverage or Stock Twits. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon for decisions. Guests may maintain positions and securities discussed in this podcast.